On this episode of The Pride Diaries, I went to Botswana. If you've been paying attention, you must have heard that they have repealed Section 164 of the Penal Code in Botswana, which basically was the anti-LGBTQ law in Botswana. And I was very curious, what's life for queer Botswanans right now? And I reached out to someone who is not just a member of the queer community, but also a member of feminist initiatives in Botswana. And she gave us a detailed experience of what it means to be Botswanan and queer in 2023.
So, hi. I am now here with Meiti.
Hi.
Would you please introduce yourself?
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Matlhogonolo Samsam, but my preferred name is Meiti because it's easier for most people to pronounce. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a bisexual feminist activist based in Botswana. Yeah, basically, that's who I am. So I'm part of an autonomous and registered LBQ collective called Black Queer Dogs. We are based in Botswana, and we are Black queer feminists who work towards social transformation for the inclusive and just communities. So our work is around using various forms of documentation, such as research, such as advocacy, to change the narratives and to create that sense of well-being in our communities. And we use this using intersectional feminist approaches and processes to mobilize people who are like us, who have similar goals, who have similar thought processes, who believe in what we believe in, and to just work as a society, to build rather towards that collective agenda of social, economic, and political transformation for equity and the realization of human rights with a specific and stronger focus on the lives of LBQ women.
Oh, that's really amazing. And now I'm more curious about specifics of your work. So tell me about a specific project that you have worked on.
So I'll talk about our most recent process. Okay. We have been engaging with four more other collectives in Botswana for the Universal Periodic Review process. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are aware, but Botswana was getting reviewed on the 3rd of May. So we were working with other queer collectives and other feminist collectives in Botswana to do a shadow report, looking at some of the issues that we think are priorities in Botswana. Issues like gender-based violence, issues like abortion, issues like legal gender recognition, and issues like the repeal of gross indecency laws, which despite Botswana having recently decriminalized, we still have the gross indecency laws. Just to highlight that they are, even though Botswana has made progress, there are still those gaps, there are still those challenges. So we did the shadow report and we submitted it. And the nice thing is a lot of our recommendations are around the repeal of Section 167, which is about the gross indecency laws, was made to Botswana. Recommendations around the legalization of abortion was also made. And a recommendation around setting strong systems of accountability to address gender-based violence were also made to Botswana. So I think it's one of the projects that I'm really excited about, and I hope it would be very impactful. And now we're in the next steps of actually engaging with different government sectors and the LGBTI community itself, just to talk about the report, share where the gaps are, and see how we can work collectively to address those gaps.
Okay, that's really amazing. That's amazing work. And you mentioned some of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. So first of all, you mentioned that though Botswana has made progress with some adjustments, right, there are still some backward laws. And I want to talk a bit about that, specifically about the LGBTQ community and the laws that, you know, were repealed and what it used to be before and all of that.
Yeah, so I think Botswana, like many of the African states who have been colonized, unfortunately was left with those laws that are from the colonization era. And then we had the laws that criminalized adult consensual same-sex sexual acts and criminalized what they call gross indecency. So for the longest time, both LGBTI activists have been trying to decriminalize. It started as far back as 1998 with the formations of the organizations such as the Lesbians, Gays and Sexuals of Botswana, commonly known as the Habibo in the LGBTI space. So it's a journey that started as far back as 98 and has progressed through the registration of La Habibo in 2016, and then through the two gender marker cases where two trans people went to court in order to be able to change their gender marker and their identity documents, and to eventually in 2019, where we saw Botswana remove Section 164 from the Section 164 A and C, because B talks about something completely different, removed it from the penal code. So I think it's been a long process. The laws, even though they were not like regularly enforced to a level where people were taken to prison, but they were kind of reflected in the systems. They deterred people to access healthcare services because people felt like if I go, for example, I'm a gay man and I go to a clinic, and I have STIs in a certain area and I try to access a healthcare facility, it's like I'm literally handing myself over to a government official to say I've been violating the law. So people were very reluctant to access healthcare services. And even though we know that ideally people who provide public services are bound by certain standards, they still bring their own cultural beliefs, their own personal beliefs to their places of employment. So yeah, the way they offer systems would be very discriminatory. And you are a very small community. If I go to the police because my partner beat me, and then instead of addressing that as a domestic violence issue, the police are now saying, why are you in a relationship with a man? Obviously, I'm going to tell my friends that I had the situation, I went to the police, and this is their response. And it's going to go on to so many other people, and it kind of set the tone of how people relate to the police. So things like that have created a very hostile social environment and kept people from accessing basic public services. So post-decrim, also because a lot of the times when judgments are made in Botswana, they happen at the court level. But when it comes to implementation, to the people who are actually working with the laws, the people on the ground who are enforcing the laws, it's very slow to see change. It's very slow to see implementation. So it took a while for decrim judgment to be included in the Government Gazette. And to this date, we have not seen it being talked about at Parliament to make sure that it's actually removed from the law. So those are some of the things that are like very disheartening. And also we know that it's great to change laws. It's awesome. It works in our favor. But societal perceptions take a while to change. Even if the law changes, we still have to deal with attitudes and perceptions that have been built for a long period of time. So that's the cases of discrimination. We see it a lot on social media. There's been a rise in the anti-gender movement. There's been a lot of homophobic speech in social media platforms and local newspapers. So it's something that we are also working very hard on, because we realize that decrim, even though it was partial decrim, was a step in the right direction, but it's just the beginning of the work that we need to do to make sure that people's perceptions move with the changes. And then also with regards to decrim, because it was in two forms. It was the criminalization of the sexual acts, which was Section 164. And then the criminalization of acts that are seen as gross indecency, which is Section 167. Unfortunately, because the person who took the case to court, the applicant, had only talked about Section 164 and excluded Section 167. When La Habibo came into the case as a friend of the court, just bringing that additional evidence to help the court make a decision, they also brought the gross indecency law, Section 167, because it's part and parcel with 164. But when the High Court ruled, they ruled to repeal all those laws. Mm-hmm. And then the Attorney General appealed. So the case went to the Court of Appeal and they only made a decision on Section 164. So it means that Section 164 has been repealed. And mm-hmm. because the applicant did not say anything on 167, we still have Section 167 mm-hmm. in the penal code. Hence me saying our decrim has been, it's a partial decrim because we mm-hmm. have these laws that can actually be used to harm queer people.
I want you to actually break down the laws. Like, what did the laws actually say? Or what do they say?
So Section 164 A and C, A was talking about any person who has carnal knowledge of another person against the order of nature. And then C was talking about any person who allows another person to have carnal knowledge of them against the order of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So a person who does it and a person who allows another person to do it to them. So meaning I can't just say, oh, I was not participating. This person was doing this to me and I was just there. So both of us would be guilty of an offense, which was up to 7 years. And then we didn't include B because B talked about bestiality, which is something that we were not involved in and we're not working around. So A and C. And then there's Section 167, which says any acts that can be deemed as gross indecency, both in private and in public, are punishable. I think it's up to 5 years, I think. So what was repealed, what was removed from the penal code is the sexual acts against the order of nature. And also because of the way the applicant phrased their arguments, they were very much focused on the sexual act itself. So the sexual act, which was interpreted to be anal sex, which is what the case tended to revolve around. So that is the act that has been removed from the penal code. So everything else that people can say, oh, this is gross, this is repulsive. If two people see me with my lesbian partner and we're kissing and they say, oh, this is gross, it means we can still be penalized under the gross indecency law. So those are worries that we have, and hence doing a lot of advocacy to ensure that all the laws are removed, to make sure that none of them exist, none of them can be used to further oppress queer people in Botswana.
And what's the progress on that like at the moment?
Like I said, Botswana just got reviewed and they got recommendations around that. We've also been working with the Human Rights Unit, which was established in 2019. So it's fairly new. It's fairly new and it's not a big term. So the nice thing is they've been very forthcoming. They've been willing to engage and we are working on finding ways of how we work together, how we make them understand and how we can help advise the implementation of the whole process. And in Botswana, there's this parliament normally meets, I think twice a year. The first, they talk about the financial things and the the budgets and what allocating funds. And then the cycle that's coming in July, I don't know if it's July or September, it's the one that is more focused on policy changes, laws and stuff. So we are also targeting on having targeted conversations with members of parliament who can then table 167 as a topic for discussion, potentially having a bill that removes it from the penal code. And we understand that government also is involved in its own processes of reviewing policies and laws. Just recently, Botswana has been doing a constitutional review process. We managed to participate, even though it was like a very hard process. And even though we felt like our views were not coming out very clearly in the summary report. So we are still hopeful. And at least there's been that room for engagement. So we're working on really strengthening our advocacy and targeting our efforts at members of parliament, at the people who are in government, who are actually implementing these laws and who are providing services, just to make sure that things kind of go at a quicker pace. Because when it comes to government, they will take years and years to do one simple thing. So, yes.
Wow, it's been a lot, actually. I'm wondering what exactly it felt like when they repealed the first one, knowing that the second one still existed. Were there any significant changes for society?
I felt very good and very happy. It was a very nice moment to be queer in Botswana when the judgment was made at the High Court and again at the Court of Appeal. I felt like we are finally being seen and we are being recognized and acknowledged as a part of Botswana society and as people who deserve to have their human rights protected, who deserve to ensure their human rights, just like everybody else. Of course, there was that the bummer with regards to 167, but any progress, no matter how small it is, it is still progress. So we're very happy about that. And post-decrim, we saw a lot of visibility, like more people started to be visible in the movement in Botswana. There has been a pride movement which has been active since 2019 after the judgment. So Botswana has been having the annual pride, which happens every year now in October. And it was not done by a civil society organization like Lahabiba. It was just a queer person who felt like, you know what, let me do something like this. So it was very, very nice to see. And there's been a willingness from it. Now even the corporate society to engage with LGBTI organizations. We had organizations like the Diamond Trading Company, which is one of the biggest organizations in Botswana. We have a project they called the Real You Project, which was just around embracing diversity in the workplace. And they have done a couple of community engagement services. And one of the local banks also, Standard Chartered Bank, had activities where there were raising funds which went towards an LGBTI shelter, which is in Botswana, providing equipment that the shelter can use. So we are beginning to see changes, but we also understand that it's going to be a gradual process. It's not going to be something that changes overnight, where people are much more comfortable, people are much more open. But I'm not completely happy with the engagement, but I'm feeling positive and I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Before I also joined Black Queer Docs, I was working for Lahabibo. So for the first time in a long time, we also managed to meet with the Police Commissioner, Botswana Police Service, just to talk about how we can work with them as law enforcement officers around issues around security of LGBT persons. And because also the laws fit into their curriculums at their police colleges, like how they envision that happening and what kind of training help with to make sure that the staff is capacitated. Which was a very good thing, because a lot of the times when you try to engage with the police, they will dodge you and tell you that they have pre-existing commitments and stuff like that. Yeah. And we also met with the president. We met with the president and it was publicized in the media. It was publicized in the government papers where he met members of the Lahabibo team. And he was just reaffirming his commitment to protecting LGBT persons and saying he just wanted to assure us that we are also citizens who deserve equal protection and who do everything in his power to make sure that we get to enjoy our human rights. Sometimes it's a lot of talk and very little action, but it's something that we can also take and use for advocacy. So to say, hey, remember when we were at your office and say you said this and this and this and you make the statements, we are coming with this particular issue now, 167. It's been 2 years. It's still in the penal code. What are we doing about it? So I think there's been a lot of changes there and then, but also there has been backlash from mostly religious fundamentalists who claims that we are a threat to the family unit. I don't know how. Who claim that somehow this is a Western agenda, the whole thing about homosexuality being an African and what. I think it's a normal response in any society, because you're not going to have everybody believing the same thing. And we did anticipate having at least some form of backlash. So I wouldn't say it's too bad. I think we are making steady progress in the right direction.
Yeah, it says a lot of work and involves a lot of moving parts. So I would say there are multiple steps in the right direction, and I am very happy for where Botswana is headed right now. What do you think it's like compared to before. Okay. So are queer people now more able to hold hands in public? Because you mentioned something like when, if people see you and your, or hypothetically, obviously, see two people, two women kissing or two guys kissing, and they want to make fun of that or something, that could also get them in jail, right? So is it worse off or is it better now that at least one part of the law is gone?
This is not also just specific to us being queer. Mm-hmm. Bazona is like naturally very cultural. So public display of affection is really frowned upon, regardless of your sexual orientation.
Okay.
So I can imagine that it is going to be even worse for queer people. So there are a lot of things that play, the culture, the religious beliefs, a lot of intersectionalities, which makes the situation even worse. For queer people. But it's also dependent on where you are. I think in the cities like where we live, it would be a little bit more acceptable. There are like nightclubs where we can go and be, and people would not harass you. But generally in the public spaces, PDA is something that is culturally frowned upon. So regardless of your sexual orientation, people would look at you some type of way. They are more likely to like verbally abuse you than physically beat you. When it comes to cases of violence, I think trans women have been more affected by violence in the society. So there are issues like that about people being in rural areas where they are not really conversant with this type of conversations. And then the difference being with being in Gaborone, where it's a capital city and people, it's much more modern. People get to see this a lot in the media and it's a little bit less hostile. So like I said, PDA, it's really not a thing here.
I get that. So my next question was going to be, is it queer tourist friendly? But I think you've answered that question in general. Because I feel like hearing that, oh, Botswana has repealed the law and all of that, it sounds all rosy and all of that. So it's cool that we've talked about this. Do you have any parting notes? Do you have anything you want to say?
Just to add on to that, you can come as a queer person. You can come for tourism in Botswana purposes. I think you'd find it lovely. You'd enjoy it. The people are generally nice. You just have to be cautious about the PDA. And maybe also engage with people who are local queer organizations to find out which spots are inclusive, where you can enjoy yourself freely. But throughout the rest of the country, Botswana are generally very nice people. I don't foresee tourists getting killed because they're queer in Botswana. So they can come, but just be a bit cautious, be aware of the cultural customs of whatever specific areas they visit. And a parting note, I don't know, I think as a community in Africa, we need to continue working together because our issues are very intersectional, they're very relatable. And we know that when something happens in another African country, it's very likely that it will affect the human rights situation in the next African country. So just standing in solidarity with our siblings in different parts of Africa who are currently going through the most very homophobic laws, very homophobic practices, and just basically just asking how we can be of support and how we can stand in solidarity without putting their lives at risk. So just that, just to stand in solidarity with those who are in countries that are regressing with regards to human rights.
Yeah, that is something. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on to talk to us about this. I'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Miti, on being a queer Botswana living in Botswana in 2023. You know what they say, Africa is a country. It's not so much different from being a queer Nigerian living in Nigeria. And I hope you learned something new. Catch us on the next episode.